Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. If you've been with us the last 3 weeks or so, you know we've been talking about the rapture, the time when the saints of God, when those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, are going to be taken up and taken and caught up together. And our anchor scripture there is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. It says, the Lord will descend himself with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And we're going to be caught up with the Lord. We're going to be taken up to heaven with him, and we're going to partake there of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so that is something we can look forward to. And I'm going to speak today a bit about the timing of the rapture, when exactly in the timeline of biblical events it will take place. And of course, there are differing subjects, differing opinions on this subject, and differing opinions, and some people get very heated about this, and that's not my purpose to be quarrelsome in any way. I'm just laying out what I believe, and you pray about it. Come back in about 10 years after you've prayed about it and let me know what you think, and we'll discuss it then. But in the meantime, I'm going to lay out my opinions and my revelation that the Lord has given me about it. And so if you'll receive this today with an open heart and an open mind, that would be the Lord's requirement of you. Well, Luke 21:36 is a good anchor scripture here for the timing of the rapture. In Luke 21:36, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and from about Luke 10 to verse 36, he's talking about the tribulation that is to come, and he's saying there's going to be great persecution, there's going to be things happening here on this earth that you've never seen before, and that no one has ever seen before. And so I don't believe those things have happened. I certainly discount the preterist viewpoint that all those things in the book of Revelation and the tribulation, all those things have already happened. I don't see anywhere in human history that they happened. I don't believe that the sacking and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD by the Romans, I don't believe that fulfills hardly any of the descriptions we see in the book of Revelation or in the book of Daniel that prophesies about these events. And so I believe these events are yet to come. I believe that when you look at the current events of the day, it is very easy to see that we're building toward that point when the end time prophecies will be fulfilled. We're building to that point. Look to Israel, the timepiece of God's calculus, and look to Israel and see what's happening there. See what's happening with the nations of the earth in their relationship to Israel. See what's happening in the United States in terms of its relationship to Israel. And I believe if you get the proper perspective and start to see the end time events in their proper perspective, it's very easy to see that we're building, that there's a crescendo, and we're building toward the end time events that will culminate in the events that are described in the book of Revelation. And so it's very easy to decipher the events of the day. It's very easy to decipher what's going on here in the United States with all the spirit of lawlessness and the spirit of hatred and all of this stuff that you see coming down, and our turning away from Israel and our promotion of homosexual marriage, our promotion of abortion, all of these things which God calls abomination are taking us farther and farther away from the will of God and pushing us closer and closer into a place where we're aligning with the goat nations of the earth against Israel, and we're aligning with the goat nations of the earth against the kingdom of God. Well, Luke 21:36 tells the disciples, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, to escape all these things, what things is he speaking about? He's speaking about those things that he just described to the disciples in the previous verses there in Luke 21. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy. Well, what does it mean to be counted worthy? It means that you are going to be seen and known by the Lord Jesus Christ as a follower of His, as a devoted follower of His, as someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You are going to be counted worthy. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church and sit in church. It doesn't matter how many times you bake a pie for the fellowship dinner or whatever you consider to be good works. That isn't what the Lord Jesus is looking for. He's looking into your heart. He's looking into your heart this very moment to see if you love Him, to see if you worship Him, to see if you're willing to commit your life to Him. And there will be days and times ahead as the spirit of lawlessness takes over this country. There will be days and times coming ahead when you will have to confess your faith and where it's going to be uncomfortable for you to be a believer in Jesus Christ, because you're going to be persecuted by the government. You're going to be persecuted by your family. You're going to be persecuted by people in the church, and you're going to have to make a stand, and you're not going to be able to sit on the fence and just play both sides of the game. You're going to have to make a stand for Jesus Christ and for the kingdom of God. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. And those who are counted worthy, when Jesus comes back, when the Father says to Jesus, my son, it's time for you to go gather up the church, it's time for you to take them out, when Jesus does that, when He comes back to gather up the saints, then at that particular time, if you're counted worthy, you're going to go with Him. There are some people on this earth that are not going to see physical death. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15, that some are not going to sleep. They're not going to see physical death, because as they're going to work, or as they're in their job, or as they're watching a ball game or whatever, they're going to be taken up without seeing physical death. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain shall be taken up to be with the Lord. And so then we will all be with the Lord, and we are to comfort one another with these words. Well, Matthew 24:42, Jesus says basically the same thing in the Olivet Discourse. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And so not even Jesus Himself knows when He's coming back. He has not been given that. He said it's not for us to know the times or the seasons. He told the disciples in Acts 1, first chapter, verse about 5, He said it's not for you to know the times or the seasons when He was preparing to leave them. He said, just be ready and you will receive what the Father has for you. And so my instruction for you today, my encouragement for you today, is don't get all uptight about when the rapture happens. Don't get your nose up against your neighbors and yell and scream about this. Just be ready. Then you don't have to worry. Just be ready. I can tell you there are going to be some churches after the rapture that it's going to be business as usual. Most of the congregation is still going to be there. The pastor's still going to be in the pulpit, and they weren't ready. Their hearts weren't ready. They're talking all about love. They're talking about good works. They're talking about social gospel. They're not talking about how to please their Lord Jesus Christ. They're not talking about sin and repentance, and they're not talking about God is a God of judgment, and He comes to judge the quick and the dead, and so they're not going to be ready. And so after the rapture, they're going to be functioning just as if nothing ever happened. But for you, my brother and sister out there listening today, if you be ready, you will go when the Lord comes, no matter what that day or the hour. Well, Matthew 24:45, Jesus says that we're to be about our Father's business until He comes. And so that's the second point I want to make. Don't sit around hoping for the rapture to come tonight. Don't sit around tomorrow hoping for the rapture to come, and every other word out of your mouth is, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Listen, Jesus is going to come when the Father tells him to. In the meantime, you get busy doing whatever God calls you to do. You get busy doing whatever, you get busy going through the open doors, whatever God has opened for you. You get busy, you pick up your boots, and you pick up your satchel, and you get ready to go, and stop worrying about, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He's going to come when the timing is just right. You can guarantee that. You can be assured of that, that when he comes, the timing will be just right, as everything in God's kingdom is right. But in the meantime, we've got work to do. There are people all over the world. If you want to do some work, there are people all over the world that don't know Jesus Christ, that have never read the Bible, that don't even have a Bible in their own language, and they have never heard the gospel presentation, a clear presentation of the gospel in their own language. And so if you've got time on your hands and you're sitting around hoping Lord Jesus comes tonight, don't do that. Just get busy about the kingdom, whatever the Father has for you to do, whatever small door of opening, whatever little job or endeavor he has for you, get busy doing it, and at the right time, the Father's going to take care of the rapture, and you will be then ready to go. You will be counted worthy. Well, Matthew 24:45, Jesus said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season," or at the right time, verse 46. "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So don't get caught getting sleepy and say, "Well, the Lord's not coming. Look, he's tarried for 2,000 years now. He's delayed, and so therefore he's probably not going to come for maybe another 2,000 years, and so I can just take it easy. I can just put everything on cruise control. I can sleep in on Sunday morning for a while, and I can disregard reading my Bible, disregard prayer time, and I can just know that, you know, God's going to delay the coming of his son Jesus Christ." Well, I tell you today, brother and sister, don't fall into that lazy attitude. Don't fall into that attitude where Jesus says you're going to be put in with the hypocrites if you do that, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, I tell you, if you want to be counted worthy today, you better act like it, and you better get busy working for the kingdom of God. If you can't find anything to do, you email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and I'll find something for you to do. I'll give you some kingdom work to do. If nothing else, you can go to Africa with me and help build an orphanage next summer, or you can help with the stagehands on the revivals where I preach and the crusades where I preach. I'll find something for you to do. But if you pray about it, if you pray about your part in what you can do to advance the kingdom until Jesus comes back, well, then I think God will show you something, and you won't have to worry about having to sit around twiddling your thumbs and saying, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Well, Paul gives instruction to us in 2 Thessalonians about the timing and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1, Paul says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of the Lord had come. Well, apparently somebody had written the Thessalonican church after Paul had been there and talked to them about the rapture and the second coming. Somebody had written them and said, well, it's already happened. You don't have to worry about it. Just let it slide. You don't have to worry about it. And Paul says he does not want these Thessalonians, these baby believers, to be consumed or to be taken in by this lazy attitude, this hypocritical attitude, and be taken in by this idea that the Lord has already come. And verse 3, Paul says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so what Paul is describing here is the man of perdition, the Antichrist, who sets himself up in the temple. He makes a covenant with many at the start of the tribulation. It tells us in the book of Daniel, starting in verse 27, chapter 9, it tells about the man of perdition coming and showing himself to be a man who wants to control the whole world, who wants to be worshipped by the whole world. And so he sets himself up in the temple of God, and he sits as God in the temple, and he shows himself that he is God. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that is, in other words, what is restraining this man of perdition and this end time lawlessness, and you now know what is restraining that he may be revealed, that the man of perdition may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And so Paul is saying there's one coming. He's going to be aligned with Satan. He's the lawless one. He comes with the spirit of lawlessness, and he is the son of perdition. And it tells us that he is going to set himself up and be worshipped by the whole world. He's going to try to replace God in the temple and replace God by those worshipers of God in the world, and that he will set himself up, and that now the thing that is restraining this lawless one and restraining this whole spirit of lawlessness is the Holy Spirit, and it will be taken out when the saints are raptured. The Holy Spirit, in its present form, in the work that it's now doing to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that Holy Spirit will be taken out as the saints are taken out, as the saints are raptured, and then this lawlessness and this son of perdition and this one who wants to make a covenant with many and set himself up as God, then he will be free to act on his own. He will be free then to implement his plan and his program for the whole world. And many, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. And there are going to be many signs and wonders and all powers, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And so at the end of the tribulation, this lawlessness is going to come to an end. Jesus is going to come back with the saints, and he's going to deal with this son of perdition. He's going to slay him with the breath of his mouth and the brightness of his coming, and that will be the end when Jesus comes back and sets up his millennial kingdom. That will be the end of this lawless one and of this son of perdition, and he will have to deal with the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, and the armies of the saints who come with him to deal with this end time deception and this end time delusion. Well, the exact timing, no one knows for sure. My own personal idea, and this I've gleaned from Revelation and from the Scripture, my own idea is that the rapture happens at the beginning of the tribulation, at the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. And I believe in the book of Revelation, if you were to place it anywhere in the book of Revelation, it would be at the beginning of the fourth chapter. And John, after he speaks about the churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation, he speaks to the seven churches in Asia. And then at the beginning of chapter 4, these words are then spoken. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. And verse 2, Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one who sat on the throne. And so John was taken up, he was raptured. In the Spirit, he was taken up, and he was set before the throne. And I believe if you could put the rapture into any place in the book of Revelation, that's where it would go. That's where it would fit. It's before the tribulation, the great tribulation, before the man of perdition starts to do all his deceptive and lying wonders. And so that is the place where I believe the church is going to be taken up, and they are going to be taken up in the Spirit and set down before the throne of God with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I appreciate each and every one of you listening today. I ask you to pray about the rapture. I ask you to pray about your part in moving the kingdom forward as you wait for Jesus to come back and gather up the church. I pray that you pray about not sitting around and just waiting and twiddling your thumbs, that you look for opportunities, that you look for open doors, that you look for places where the Lord would have you to do kingdom work. And I thank you that you are listening to this today with an open mind, and I just pray that you would be encouraged to know that if you are ready, you don't have to worry about when the Lord is coming back. Well, it all starts with Jesus Christ. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, you have peace. You have joy unspeakable. You have everything that you need. And if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can start your eternal walk with him right now on this earth, right now in this place, wherever you're at. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, get down on your knees and do business with him. Repent of your sins. Turn from your wicked ways. Accept him and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I want to serve you. I want to be your bond servant, and I want to follow you all the days of my life. And as you do that, Jesus will be more than willing to receive you to himself. He will come into your heart. He will send the Holy Spirit to seal your pledge and to seal your desire to follow him. And you will be with the Lord for all eternity. And I just praise the Lord for those of you who are out there making that decision today. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.